Welcome to the Between These Stitches podcast. My name is Katiuska Guzman and I am your host. This podcast talks to everyday makers about what makes fiber art so special to them. Welcome back to episode 3 of the Between These Stitches podcast. On today's episode, I have Grace of Grace Creating on Instagram. Grace is a sewist based in Southern California and has a very unique style. She started sewing because she wanted to create fun costumes for her family. She talks to us about some of her tips for pattern hacking and the best beginner patterns if you just started sewing. Let's go to the show. On today's episode, I have Grace of Grace Creating. Welcome to the show, Grace.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So excited to have you. So I wanted to get to know more about you. So let's start up with your sewing journey. How did you get started sewing?
Well, I kind of always was dabbling in it. I remember as a kid, my mom would give me like scraps of fabric and some embroidery thread, and I'd just kind of play around and like make little pouches or clothes for Barbies, things like that. But I didn't really start like actually sewing probably until I was married with kids even. And I don't know why I kind of put it aside, and I guess I just got distracted and never really tried to learn. It always seemed kind of overwhelming following a pattern.
Yeah.
I remember kind of looking through it and read. My mom had some patterns and she did a little sewing. And I remember just thinking that it just seemed kind of almost like a foreign language, like looking at it, like I didn't know any of the terms or what it was saying. So it just kind of felt overwhelming. But I know when I was first married, I would kind of do some like pillowcase covers or curtains here and there, like straight lines.
Right.
Were pretty easy. And then I did try to do a few, like maybe a skirt or something. And it just like, I didn't know about fabric at all. And so I would use quilting cotton.
Oh, and yeah.
So everything would have that kind of stiff, like not quite drapey look. And I wouldn't understand why. So I did take a class eventually. I think it was like maybe 10 years ago now. I took a class through the community college district, had like this intro to sewing class. It was a night class. And they had you bring a pattern of a pajama pant pattern, any pattern you wanted, and some flannel. And they just walked you through how to follow the pattern, what all the terms meant, how to use your sewing machine appropriately. And that class was like really what kind of opened my eyes to, oh, I could do this.
Right.
I can learn how to follow a pattern. And then, you know, the internet kind of started taking off after that. And I started discovering all the indie patterns. And the directions were, I think, a little more focused for newbies.
Yes.
Than, like, the big four patterns are. So I think the big four kind of assume that you already know how to sew in the directions. And the indie patterns are more like kind of holding your hand through the process, which I really needed. So I think just the ability to print that PDF pattern off and have these detailed instructions was really kind of what started me thinking I can actually make my clothes. Like, this could happen.
Yeah. You know, I felt the same way about the big four. Mm-hmm. I had tried a couple of patterns and I was able to get through them, but it still felt difficult to read some of the stuff because I didn't really understand how patterns mm-hmm. worked or how certain shapes would come together to make something, you know?
Right. Like pants. It was so confusing. I'm like, there's four pieces and which ones go with?
Right.
It's like magic.
Yeah. And then there's a waistband,
right? And then there's that. Yeah. So, it was very confusing. I have revisited a few of those types of patterns recently and just trying to kind of think, okay, I know a little more now. Can I do it?
Right.
Right. Yeah, there's something appealing about not having to tape together the PDF.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Just for
the day. Well, you know what I started doing? I started buying my patterns as printing them out as A0, I think it is. Yeah, so I'm going online. I found a company, and that's how I ended up, how I'm doing it now. Because I was like, I just don't have the mental bandwidth to sit there and tape everything anymore.
Right. Yeah, I've done that a few times, sent out for a pattern to just come, and it's always so nice.
Yes. You're like, wow, I'm just cutting right at my size.
Right. Oh, man. But at this point, I feel like I have so many patterns that my storage is kind of bursting. So I'm like, yes. I'm gonna slow down and kind of reorganize and put everything in a way that I can find it better before I start printing off anything else.
Any more new patterns.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about what you've been doing in the sewing, you know, world lately. I know you are a Seamwork ambassador.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're also doing other things. So tell us about
that. Well, I think, the only other thing I might do is do the Minerva. So they send fabric, and then I can make whatever I want with it, any pattern I choose, as long as I take pictures of it when it's done and write up a blog post about the fabric and what I've made. So I do that. And I don't, occasionally I'll pattern test, not very often, every now and then. I think that's about it. And the Seamwork ambassador, I feel like that takes up the majority of my time, sewing time.
It does. But it's been fun,
my gosh,
right?
So much fun. So much fun. That's why I do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I noticed, though, when you're sewing, it seems to me, you know, from looking from the outside in, I don't know if this is true. It seems like you're able to make your patterns quickly. So tell us about how you might schedule your time, how you pick your patterns and your fabrics and able to put it all together.
Okay. Yeah, I do. I think I do look like I sew fast. I think one of the things that really helps with that is just keeping it all set up. I have like a little corner in my garage where I don't really have to keep it clean or organized. My messy little right. sewing corner. And there's always a project on it. So whenever I have a little bit of time, I can just go out and, you know, even if it's just a few steps in the pattern, a few seams to sew, or, you know, I just kind of slowly work through it, and it's done before I know it. I guess not having to clean it up and set it up, it really, I think, makes the big difference as far as speed. So,
right.
I think picking, I'm not very organized with picking my patterns. I kind of do it based on emotion or gut, or having seen something out there that I'm like, oh, I could copy that. Or, oh, I need right. that or something. I'm not very good at planning, which is, I've tried to do the Seamwork Design Your Wardrobe, and I think it's great. And I made it about halfway through once. And then I think we sold our house and moved. So I didn't finish it. But I know that the first part of it was very helpful in just trying to streamline what I needed and where I could go, like as far as what I was wanting to make. So I did really appreciate the part that I did do. But normally I'm not a planner. I just kind of
right. okay.
forget. But I do feel like that would be a really big benefit to be able to plan more, especially now. I think it's been about 3 years that I've been doing this, and I have a pretty full closet at this point. And so I'm kind of right. reaching that point where planning would be beneficial, and kind of being more careful about what I choose and what I need, and not just trying to sew everything in the world.
Right, right. Well, it's so easy, right? You're like, oh, brand new pattern. I need that.
Exactly. So I'm trying to be more careful about what I choose. At this point, I'm really just sewing whatever the new Seamwork patterns are for that month. That's my goal. And then whatever I need to make for the blog, if I have a fabric from Minerva. So those are kind of the main focuses of my month. And then if there's like a little thing here and there, that's a quick project, I might throw that in. But that's kind of how I'm planning my sewing right now, is just based on sort of the things I'm involved in.
Right. And actually, that's a good idea, because it's with seamwork, right? You know, you're going to see at least a couple of patterns and you're going to try those out.
Yeah.
And then you could probably get fabric based on those patterns.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing. I don't have a big, like, I've seen some of the pictures of people's fabric dashes and it's impressive. And I don't have a big fabric stash, mostly. I don't have room for one in my little garage corner.
Right.
And I don't really have the budget, too. I'm often scraping together stuff from the discount store. You know, especially if I'm trying a new pattern, I'm always really hesitant to buy an expensive fabric. I don't know. It's kind of just like a confidence thing. Like, I always feel like I'm going to mess it up. And
Right.
So I do tend to use less expensive fabrics first time around. But I do feel conflicted about that too, because I know if I were to purchase a better quality fabric, then it would last longer and there's the sustainability factor. So I'm kind of like not sure where I'm headed from here. But I think I just need to get over that like lack of confidence. It's like, okay, I've been doing this long enough now. I should feel confident enough to get into that good fabric. So
yeah, and I was gonna say, your makes don't look like they're, you know, you just put them together the other day and you've never been sewing.
I hope so, because I really only wear stuff I make lately.
Right. Well, I mean, I think we're always our own worst critics. Absolutely. Right, we're always thinking, yeah, this is not good enough, or look at this seam, it didn't come out right, or you know. So yeah, we all suffer from it.
I'm sure. I know, it's like, it's a normal thing.
So I saw recently that you had an article for Seamwork talking about something that you made, and I thought that was really cool how you took something and then worked with it. So tell me about the idea of like pattern hacking, because that's kind of what you ended up doing for that piece.
I think I really enjoy pattern hacking, because a lot of times you see something out in the world, like whether it's on TV or just like shopping in Target or, you know, just whatever. And you think, oh, I could totally make that. I know that every sewist has that thought, you know, when you see something out there, and just the challenge of like, okay, what pattern would match this outfit that I'm seeing? And do I have that in my library, or do I have it pretty accessible to me? And then what adjustments can I make to it to create the look that I'm thinking of?
Right.
Just, I really love the challenge of that, of being able to come up with like, okay, maybe there's not an exact pattern out there, or maybe I don't want to spend the money right now on the exact pattern out there to recreate this one look. So how can I adjust the pattern to make it work for what I'm thinking?
Yeah.
It's just a fun challenge that I enjoy. So that's kind of what, the inspiration for that article. I had been watching the show, Dead to Me on Netflix, and just every outfit that was on the show, I'm like, oh, I want to recreate that. So I thought it would be a fun article to show. And I was hoping it would be like inspirational to show other people, like, you can do this. You can recreate something that you see or that you think about, that you don't have to be limited to what, you know, is in front of you. You can kind of adjust and make changes.
So I know that you do that with your patterns, right? So tell us, like, in, you know, you could pick any piece that you might have made where you've either hacked the pattern or how to make adjustments. Like, how do you go about doing that when you find a pattern?
I think just like I use the internet for research. So I'll look up different things, especially Pinterest, just different looks, you know, type in what you're looking for and you see a whole bunch of different options. I'm like, okay, I pick and choose the different types of things I want to add or subtract. And then I look at like, well, what's out there as far as resources sewing wise, like articles, tutorials that might show me how to do this one hack. Like for that one article, Seamwork had, they had an article about how to take any sleeve and make it into a flutter sleeve. And it was just like step-by-step tutorial. So if there's stuff that's already been created out there, then, you know, I try to find it and use that to show me how to do the hack. Or sometimes I just like, I lay in bed at night and think about it.
Right.
Just run it through my head. Like, how could I make this work? How could this, you know, how can I do this and adjust this? And I kind of fall asleep thinking about it until I come up with a solution and then, you know, wake up the next day and excited to try it out. So sometimes it's looking up different tutorials and going off of what other people have done. And sometimes it's just like thinking about it to death until, until I can come up with a solution. So I think that's
yeah. So if you were to do something like that, do you make a muslin first or would you just, you know, cut into your fabric and just go for it?
Sometimes. Sometimes I cut into the fabric and just go for it. Sometimes I do make a muslin though, particularly if it's something very fitted, I would say, like, particularly in like if it's a dress in the bodice area, sometimes I'll just muslin the top part and make sure, because I feel like you can get like a flowy skirt or just sometimes it's just rectangles gathered or whatever. The skirt is usually big of a deal if you can get the bodice fitted correctly. So when it comes to dresses, I will, I'll just try to muslin the top part first, and then wing the rest of it.
Right.
Pants for sure. Like I will usually muslin pants because I think the fitting is harder on that.
Yeah.
I want to cut into any fabric, without muslining that first, but like, I'll usually do a shorts version just to kind of, I feel like if you can fit the waist and hips, and crotch area, then the rest of it you can adjust pretty easily, but always muslin pants just as shorts. So
yeah, that's a good idea. I think you gave me the idea for the Nolan pants to try it like that.
Yeah,
which is what I ended up doing first, was trying that out, and then I was like, oh, it worked.
Nice. And I think that that sometimes is a challenge with being petite, because I know I'm only 5'3", and I think you said that as well. I always, like, that's part of the benefit of making your own pants is that everything in the stores is usually too long, or the petite size just doesn't fit right, or whatever it is. So being able to adjust length. But if I'm only making shorts, I have to be really careful about like adjusting for taking out the right amount of the length. I think if you're making the same pattern company over and over, you kind of know it's generally the same amount every time. Like with Seamwork patterns, I kind of have a good idea of how much length to take out of with their patterns. So I think that does help.
Yeah. No. Yeah, I feel the same way. Because we've also talked about our short torsos, and how that also affects a pattern, like either a top or a dress.
Yeah,
the same, having been able to sew a lot of Seamwork patterns has helped me see, okay, I know where to do X or Y and make it actually fit me the right way.
Yes, yeah. And I think that's a great benefit of kind of sewing the same company, is that the fit adjustments are a little bit easier after a while.
Yeah, awesome. So what are you working on like right now?
Right now, I'm making a Halloween costume for my 9-year-old.
Oh, nice.
So she wants to be a witch, and I've always been like, well, let's stick with funny things and not scary things or like silly things and characters. But then she trapped me in logic and said, well, my sister is going to be Hermione, so technically she's a witch.
Right.
And I'm like, well, you're right. So I just went with it. And I actually, I can't remember the name of it, the name of the pattern. It's a McCall's pattern for kids. It's just a simple dress. And I'm like, okay, we can use this as a base and then I'll just make a few adjustments to it to kind of make it, I guess, more witchy looking.
Right.
So she helped me draw a little sketch of what she wanted, and I've kind of been working on that the past few days. So,
oh, that's fun. With
her input, she's got to. The kids are really hard so far because they're very picky.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but that's been fun. I do actually really, really, really love costume sewing.
So, oh, nice.
Yeah, and that's kind of, I didn't even mention this before, but that was a big motivation for learning to sew, is I was putting together costumes for my family, and I thought there's got to be a better way to like fit this stuff and not just hot glue felt together.
Right.
So yeah, I do. I really started with trying to get my costume making a little bit more on point.
Right. Right.
So
And how many have you sewn? Like, have you made a lot? Oh my gosh. Or
I couldn't even tell you. We have a whole closet full of costumes, and some of them the kids have grown out of and I've passed along to other people, but a lot.
Right.
Like probably almost every princess dress.
Oh, I have awesome. 3 girls,
so there's been a lot of princess dresses. And we used to have Disney passes years ago, and they would always dress in their princess mm-hmm. dresses to go to Disneyland. So right. Things like that. But I do have like kind of crazier costumes too. Like my daughter wanted to be popcorn one year. So she has like a skirt that has the red and white stripes. And then I made a top for her. And then she actually discovered that you can use this like spray foam and it dries, and it's like, it looks just like popcorn. You put a little yellow spray paint on it. So we
that's awesome.
The top and like made a big hat, and it was super cool. So we have a lot of like weird stuff like that too.
But that's so cool that, you know, you can get creative and then bring it to life.
Yeah, that's really fun. And I'm super sad that my kids don't want to match anymore for Halloween.
Oh.
That was like those years when we did family theme costumes were super fun, and now they're like rolling their eyes like, no, I want to be my own thing.
Right, right. They're at that age, right? They're like, no, I'm gonna be independent.
So those years were fun, but yeah so
oh, that's so sweet. I actually don't sew a lot for my own kids, mostly because sometimes the pickiness, I'm like, all right, look, that's it.
Right. Yeah, it's really hard. Like, it's hard to put that much effort into something and then have them be like, eh.
Yes, exactly.
So I don't sew a lot for my kids unless it's a costume. I don't do it a lot.
Yeah. Well, I made a Friday pattern company dress last year, and my daughter was like, oh, I love it. I want one too. And I was like, okay. Yeah, so I made her like the mini me version. And then she never wore it.
That's really funny. Which pattern was it?
Yeah. I think it's called the Westcliff dress.
That's so funny. I haven't made that one.
Yeah, she was like, it's great, Mom. I love it. She put it on. We took some pictures and that was it.
That's great. How old is she?
Okay. She's 9. Okay.
Yeah, that's my youngest is also going to be 9 soon. So she's the only so far now as far as like clothing, because she's the only one that like shows interest in it. The other two are like, but even then doesn't really wear it much after. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what it is. But they do wear hats and gloves that I knit. So we'll stick to that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's much more satisfying to sew for myself.
Yes, absolutely. I think that is the key.
they take everything else from me. So I'm just going to keep that.
me. Yes. You're like, thank you. I'll keep this.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Children do take up a lot of time, energy, and all sorts of other stuff.
Totally worth it, but not always worth it to sew for them.
Yeah. Yeah. You can have one thing for yourself, right?
Oh, I hope so.
So tell us, what are you looking forward to coming up now? That I know the seasons don't change that much for you in Southern California, but what type of clothing are you going to be sewing next? I know you're not a planner, but if you were going to plan something.
Probably, so I've been on a journey to figure out how to sew knit fabric better. I feel like I really struggled with it the past couple of years, just like getting the hem right. And I was always wavy and, you know, do I do the twin needle or the zigzag? I don't have a cover stitch machine. So getting the finishing right can be challenging. So I feel like I'm starting to kind of get into the groove of figuring it out a little bit better. And so probably I'll be sewing like kind of cozy long sleeve things, like sweaters or long sleeve t-shirts, things like that. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I feel like I'm starting to kind of understand how to work with knits a little bit better. So that'll definitely be on the list. I'm a little conflicted right now about pants because quarantine has been rough nutrition for me, to say the least.
Yeah. So I know, all of us.
So I have just this wonderful stack of jeans, mostly Ginger jeans, a couple of Dawn jeans. And I love them so much, but I cannot get any of them on right now. So I'm, you know, trying to rein it in a little bit and get back to exercising. I like to run, but it just sort of dwindled during this season. And so I'm trying to get back into running in the morning and kind of just being a little more careful about my early quarantine philosophy was kind of more of a eat, drink, and be merry because we're stuck in the house.
Right. Yes. Mine was too.
And hopefully be able to wear my wonderful jeans. If not, if the weather cools down and, you know, that doesn't work out, then I'll have to probably readjust my patterns and make some new jeans. So that can be on the sewing list. We'll see. So far, it's not not too cold yet, but yeah.
So if you had to give advice to anyone who would, you know, just start sewing their own clothes, what would you say to them?
I would say don't be discouraged if that's turning out the way that you want them to turn out. And don't feel like it's a waste if you make something and it doesn't fit right or you don't really like it. But there's a lot of trial and error involved in making your own clothes and fitting yourself, and that you kind of have to push through those early attempts and just it's a learning curve and just keep going and keep trying and eventually find that you're figuring it out and you're making things that you can wear, and it's such a fun feeling to be like, I made this outfit that I'm wearing. Like, it's so empowering and really cool to be able to do that. So I would say just to push through any discouragement and keep going, and use resources. That there's so many resources online. That's amazing. That you can really, like, using YouTube and blog posts that people have generously, you know, written out tutorials for things. You can really teach yourself so many things from home, which is amazing. You know, when I took that class 10 years ago, the wealth of information wasn't really online yet, or I hadn't discovered it yet. And I thought that I would have to, you know, keep taking these night classes to learn. And I did take a few of them, and then just being able to discover all the online resources and using them was huge. Because I, you know, having at that time, my kids were really little. In fact, I think one of them wasn't even born yet. So you know, I didn't have time to keep going to classes. I went to enough of them to figure stuff out. But I would say just accessing all the resources that are out there and really, you know, you can really teach yourself, and finding a buddy, that's also going through the journey with you can help too. I know when I took those classes, my sister-in-laws were taking them with me, and just, you know, having people that were also doing that alongside, you bounce ideas off of or ask questions. That's helpful too. And I
yes, or the Instagram exactly. community,
so
right?
I think that has evolved into Instagram. It's like you can find people that also enjoy the same hobby and are doing the same thing as you, and they're all over the world, and it's just, it's really cool to see. It's, I think sewing is such a it can be such a lonely hobby, you know. You're like in your little corner doing your own little thing, and just I think the Instagram community really it allows you to see that there's so many other people doing that too, and it's be less lonely, and I really have appreciated that. Not only just the resources that are out there. I think since I started my Instagram, I think it was 3 years ago now, I've just learned so much from following different people and learning different techniques and different patterns. And it's been awesome. So yeah,
it's encouraged me a lot to see what other people are sewing and just reading about their mistakes or their hacks and what they did to a pattern. It's very encouraging and actually reminds me that, oh, look, you know, they're human like me, right?
Everyone's on this journey of learning and trying and doing it. And that's super motivating for me.
Yes. Yeah, me too. I actually use Instagram a lot when I want to sew a pattern. To see how others have sewn it and what they've done or fabric choices. And it's actually a really good resource.
Oh, yeah, I do
just
that. Every
itself.
Time I'm thinking about making a pattern, I will check the hashtag on Instagram and just, what does it look like on, you know, other people that have tried it? Yeah, exactly. And then it helps you kind of see, okay, this is the fabric I would like to use, or this is how I might want to adjust it. So it's a huge resource. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially for different body types. For me, that's been important to see how it looks on different people. Especially if I'm short, you know, and I'm like, okay.
I know. Yeah, because I think sometimes, like, being petite, it's things can get kind of lost on you. Like, you have to be careful, you know, to match your proportions and some of the more flowy styles. Like, I just kind of, I don't know, it overpowers me maybe. So it helps to see that.
Right.
And it's nice to be able to look that up. And I know there was a movement for a while with measurements. And I put my measurements in my bio on Instagram. But
I
kind of forget sometimes to go check that on other people's just to see if they match up. If what I'm looking at is, it's hard to tell from a picture if someone is close in size to you or not. So it's always good to remember that might be in someone's bio, and then you can get a little more clear picture of if they're similar proportions to you.
Yes. I do look for that often as well, or seeing people sitting down as well. Right. And so that you can see what garments are looking like differently.
I have not so really important. Done that much yet. I think my biggest challenge with Instagram is getting a picture. It's so hard to get someone to take my picture.
Yeah.
So, I'm still trying to figure that out.
Tripod, right? A little tripod for your phone.
I've been doing that more and more. I ordered a tripod and I try to do that as much as possible. But every now and then you just need, like, I don't know, if you want to go out somewhere and do like a location setting or something, you need someone to take your picture. Unless, I mean, you know, I'm a little too self-conscious to set up the tripod in public.
Yeah.
It only comes out in my backyard.
So. Yeah. You're like, why are they looking at me, right?
And if you have the guts to do that, I am impressed. And maybe one day I'll get there, but I can't do it. But yeah, I haven't moved into like taking pictures sitting or anything like that yet. Or the movement, like, some people will put videos. And it's a really good.
Oh, yes. Those are pretty. Those are actually fun because you get to see how a garment might drape over someone's body or how it moves. And that's also that's fun helpful. To see. So you know how it's going to work, right? When you finally make it.
Yeah, those things, those resources are helpful for sure. So I really appreciate everyone out there putting their work out there.
Yes, yes, me too. Thank you.
Because it's, I mean, you never know. Like, it's kind of intimidating. Throw your project out there and like, I did this and, you know, it's kind of a vulnerable thing to do. So, and there are times, times I don't, just don't want to post anything because I just don't know if you, but yeah, I do it. Yes. Yeah,
vulnerable.
Yeah. To just put something out there. I mean, it's a public space and it's a scary thing. So I appreciate everyone out there doing it. And
yeah.
You know, purpose of,
of sharing of information. Yes. Yeah. Thank you to all the sewists who provide information and absolutely. Share with us what they're doing.
It's not always easy to do. But yeah. Much appreciated.
So tell me, if you had to pick one pattern for a new beginner to start with, what would you suggest?
That is a really good question. Well, I started with pajama pants, and I don't know that I would recommend that necessarily.
Right. But only because pants can be a little challenging.
one of the first patterns I made and started with was the Blanc T-shirt by Blank Slate Patterns. And I think what was really good about that is that, you know, there's no sleeves to put in. And it's really just the two pieces, the front and back. And so it's not very intimidating. And it's a free pattern. So there's that too, that, you know, if you are a little nervous about starting out and don't want to spend money on anything, it's great to use some of those free resources when you're starting and kind of learn. And it's very hackable. You can add things to it. You can, you know, there's, I think, a sleeve pack you can get. So there's different sleeves. So I think that was that early on. I made a bunch. I just made a bunch. And so it was really practice for me to, you know, trying out different neck lines or different finishings for the neck, figuring out how to hem knits, which it that took a few years, like I said before. I think it was a really good way to start, and it's easy to fit because it's stretchy, and there is still some fitting because you do have to, you know, cut it just right and your size and show into that of like grading between sizes if you need to. Then you don't have to worry about sleeves and you don't have to worry about too many pattern pieces. So I feel like something like that is a good starting point.
Right, like a good intro and keeping it simple and just learning to use different needles, right? Because it's the knit and different stitches.
That was a big light bulb for me when I realized, I need to be changing my sewing needle. There's different needles out there. Then you don't skip stitches when you're trying to sew stretchy fabric. For sure. I think that was a good learning jumping off point for me. I do think indie patterns are great for starting out because of the directions being so much more detailed. So I'm trying to think.
Yes, I agree with that.
Oh, and obviously seam work. I think I discovered
right. That's right.
I was just kind of looking through different. I think I searched up like women's sewing patterns, and it was the Akita top that I saw on Pinterest. And thought, that is super cute. Again, another t-shirt kind of top. It wasn't a t-shirt; it's woven, but just simple sleeves. You don't have. There's no sleeves to put in, which obviously I was very intimidated when I started to put sleeves in. So that one appealed to me too. And then I remember going to the site and like being, this is a thing. This is a subscription. You can like get patterns every month, and just like the affordability of it really appealed to me. Like you know, don't have to spend, you just right. one time fee for the year, and then you don't have to keep spending, you know, money. You have all these point toward different patterns that you might want to try. And they had a pretty good library already established. And I looked through it and I'm like, oh, I would make that and that and that and that. So
it seems easy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I subscribed and started with the Akita top. And that they just like took off from there.
Right.
Just having the access to that library and being able and really just make anything I could think of. I would check their library first, and like most of the time I could find it there and be like, oh, let me try that. And just their instructions were very geared towards like step-by-step, you know, learning how to do this. And often there's like, if there's a new technique, there's a link to something to show you a little bit more how to do it. So that's great for starting out.
Right.
As far as sewing instructions and learning what different terms mean and different techniques. Yeah, it's like starting out with some simple seamwork patterns is
yes.
perfect.
Well, and now too, they not only have they expanded their YouTube, but they also now have classes in the online right. community.
Yes. And I think that's, I'm a visual learner. So sometimes reading through instructions is not always great for me. I need to see it. I need to see like a video or something, someone showing right. how to do it. So I think the classroom is a great idea. And I followed along. I did the denim jacket one.
Oh, nice.
I followed along with the classes on that. And it was so helpful.
Yeah, I didn't make the jacket because I wouldn't wear, for some reason, I've never really liked jean jackets. But I did yeah. follow the Nolan pants class. And that was mm-hmm. really, really good for showing you how to put the pants together, the pockets, everything. It was great.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think that it's super helpful for people who are more visual learners and geared towards needing to see things like myself. So I love that idea. I think it's great.
Yeah. Awesome. So what do you have coming up next? Besides the Halloween costume that you're almost done with.
Well, I just, before I started the Halloween costume, I had made a muslin of a McCall's pattern. I think mm-hmm. it was, I'm really bad with numbers. I should have written them down. It might have been 8108, I think. It's one higher waist and kind of puffy sleeves with a band, and then the gathered dress. So I was going to make a muslin of just the bodice, and then I went ahead and did the whole thing because I had found an old, tried to tie dye and it didn't really work out.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I have all this fabric. So I actually made the whole dress. And so I'm debating if I want to make it in better fabric. I couldn't tell if it was like a little bit too young for me.
Oh.
So I was a little conflicted. And it could just be that, I mean, I used a tie-dyed sheet, so it could just be
right.
the
fabric.
But now that I've got the fit all right, I'm kind of stuck with, do I want to continue with this or not? I can't decide. But so that and then I have another McCall's pattern. I can't remember the number for this one as well, but it has like kind of bell sleeves and a wrap top, but it's not a full wrap dress. The skirt is gathered. And that one is, it's been appealing to me for a while. So I have 3 yards of Liberty fabric from Minerva, and I'm trying to decide what to do with it.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So those are some two patterns that I've been thinking about. I also, I recently made the Seymour or Colette, the Aster top. And that one had been on my list for so long. It's like a V-neck button down. There's different sleeves you can put on it. I did this flutter sleeve to start.
Right.
So cute. And I really like it. And I was thinking it would be kind of fun to take the sleeves from the Seymour Emmy top, the kind of bell sleeve.
Oh yes.
Put mm-hmm. it on the Aster top. So I was also thinking about doing that. So that's kind of something I have like a little sewing notebook that I will make a list of things that I'm thinking about or little sketches. It's not organized at all. It's just kind of like brainstorming stream of thought. So those are a couple things I've written down. But what to do with this Liberty fabric, I'm not sure.
It's a little No, it seems like fun.
Yeah.
I actually like that idea also. Like, you see something, you can write it down, and then if a pattern comes up or you see a hack, you can, you know, now you have ideas for what you could do with it or the fabric or, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a notebook that is all blank pages. So I'll just like, sometimes I'll write like fall sewing and I'll write all the things that I've been thinking about making. I don't always, and it's very loose planning, but then I can kind of sit and make lists of different fabrics I might want to try with it or different hacks I might want to mix and match some patterns. And just, I don't have a very good memory, so it helps me to keep it all written down.
Yeah, no, me too. Yeah. I think once you have kids, that's it.
Right, exactly. If I don't write it down, I'm going to forget it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll pull that out.
I actually used the Design Your Wardrobe sort of like that to give me the ability to write stuff that I wanted to make down without actually following like every single step.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And I found that helpful. And I kept it all in like actually on my phone. I didn't even like put it anywhere specific.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's nice to have a place just to jot down ideas and kind of keep.
Yeah. Awesome. So if someone wants to find you online and follow you and see all the fun stuff you're making, where could they do that?
My Instagram is just grace.creating. I don't have a blog or anything. So, I think you can find me then on Minerva's site. I do have a blog on there, but I don't have my own blog. And I think if you just go to their site and search, I'm not really sure.
I think you have to search for the bloggers. Yeah.
Yes. I think there's a place where you search for the bloggers. So the projects I've done for them are on their site. And then I only just have my Instagram that I post on. Those are the two places. Oh, cool. Yeah. Or the CMARC article is in there.
I'll link to that for sure.
Yeah, their September issue was, so.
Yeah, that was a good article. I liked it. I was like, oh, she took that dress and redid it.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. That was a fun challenge.
Awesome.
Yeah, so those are the places. I try to post maybe once a week is my goal, to put up whatever I'm working on my Instagram. Just kind of sometimes twice a week, depending on how busy the week is.
Right. How far along you got on those few stitches. Yeah.
Exactly. Or if I can convince someone to take my picture or.
Right.
Yep.
I think I'm going to start doing that where I'm like, okay, hey, today I'm just going to sew for like 20 minutes and I've got, you know, three more seams done.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely kind of what my life is right now. A little bit here and there. There are days when I can get a really good chunk of time. And especially at, like with the kids doing school at home, there are some times where they're all in their different Zooms and I'll maybe have an hour to really focus on something. Right. And that's great. Yeah, that's not been too bad. And then I just have one ear open if anyone needs help with something.
Right. And actually, that's the beauty of sewing, right? You can just sort of just take a break and then come back to it. So
exactly, it kind of fits with my current lifestyle.
Yes. Great hobby.
Right.
Well, Grace, I really appreciate talking to you, learning more about you, your sewing style, costumes that you make. I want to see pictures.
Okay,
even if they're just hanging up.
I'm sure I can locate some pictures.
Yay.
They're pretty funny.
Awesome. Thank you so much
for having me. I'm super honored that you All right.
Yay. Thank you, Grace.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. That was fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I would definitely want to really see some of those pictures. My kids have always asked for costumes, but they're big on like, are we going to Target to get them? I'm like, fine.
I said that this year. I'm like, we're just going to buy them because I don't know what's going on this year and I don't want to do the effort. And then, of course, they can always sucker me into making them.
Right.
They know my weak spot.
Right. Like, mom, we know you love to sew.
Right. Yeah. Like, if they come up with a good costume and they know that I'll do it for them.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I'll dig up some pictures, but...
Yay.
Oh boy. So
kids are so smart.
Yeah, right. Smarter than I am
sometimes. No, we're just loving parents and we're like, sure, we'll just do this for you.
I know. Oh, and then I've run into the problem of my 13-year-old has this idea for a costume and I know exactly how I could help her do it. And she's like, no, I'm going to do it myself. And I have this idea and she won't even listen to me. I run into that. I'm like, oh, we're at that stage. Okay.
Right, right.
It's cool.
I mean, they're learning too, right? Exactly. Which is kind of cool in itself. Yeah.
You got to let them kind of do it on their own and figure it out.
Yeah. Oh.
So, yeah. Well, I really appreciate you know, thinking of me.
Appreciate you. And thank you. And thank you to your kids for, you know, being quiet and letting us chat.
Yeah, I have like two doors shut in between me and them. So I don't know what chaos I'm going to find.
Oh.
No, I'm sure they're fine.
Well, my kids are upstairs while I'm downstairs. So we'll see when I return.
Right. It's so funny. Hate it. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Okay. Talk to you later. Bye.
Please also subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you may listen to your podcasts. Also review the podcast and let others know what you think of Between These Stitches. Until next time. Thank you for listening to today's episode. To get more information and the show notes, please go to betweenthestitches.com/podcast.